Millie Accardi can't believe her luck. After years in a cramped Bronx apartment, she and her husband Enzo have finally secured their dream home on Long Island, a spacious farmhouse with crown molding, picture windows, and century-old oak trees dotting the expansive lawn. Even better, they got it at 10% below asking price in a competitive market. Their children react differently to the move. 11-year-old Ada mourns leaving her best friend, while 9-year-old Nico excitedly plans his treehouse. But as they unpack boxes in the fading autumn light, Millie notices someone watching from house number 13, a shadowy figure who quickly disappears behind twitching curtains. This first glimpse of neighborhood scrutiny foreshadows the intense social dynamics they'll face as Italian-Americans in this predominantly WASP community. Most unsettling is the strange scraping sound Millie begins hearing at night, a rhythmic scratching from within the walls that always starts at precisely 3:15 a.m. and mysteriously stops whenever she investigates. What secrets might their new home be hiding, and why did they get such a good deal? Dinner at the Lowells becomes an exercise in humiliation. Glamorous Suzette Lowell, who arrived uninvited at the Accardis with a store-bought pie after they moved in, relegates the children to a tiny table, positions herself beside Enzo, and mocks Millie for using the wrong fork. Despite the excellent food, Suzette highlights Millie's inadequacies while flirting with Enzo. Jonathan Lowell presents a stark contrast to his pretentious wife. Unassuming and warm, he confides to Millie he would have preferred their small house to his ostentatious one. His sad expression when agreeing with Suzette about disliking children makes Millie wonder if he sacrificed his desire for parenthood. As weeks pass, Suzette's pursuit of Enzo intensifies through business connections and suggested private demonstrations, arranging meetings without Millie's knowledge. Meanwhile, neighbor Janice photographs these interactions, later using the images to fuel Millie's jealousy, clearly enjoying the discord she creates. After 9-year-old Nico breaks Suzette's stained glass window with his baseball, Millie arranges for him to work off the debt through daily chores at the Lowells' home. Following these visits, Nico undergoes a disturbing transformation. He becomes secretive and withdrawn, locking himself in his bedroom each night. His behavior turns aggressive, punching a boy during Little League and sending a classmate to the emergency room over basketball. While Enzo dismisses this as normal boy behavior, Millie sees her once gentle son becoming unrecognizable. When his pet praying mantis dies, Nico shows no emotion and simply flushes it down the toilet, a stark contrast to the child who once cried over dead butterflies. Desperate for answers, Millie researches childhood psychopathy, recognizing alarming signs: lack of empathy, compulsive lying, cruelty to animals, and escalating aggression. The Accardi house contains a mysterious room discovered behind vintage wallpaper beneath the stairwell during their search for missing children. This windowless space, barely 8 feet square, holds only dust, candy wrappers, and peculiar scratch marks. The hidden hinges cause the scraping sounds Millie heard at night. Though Enzo sees storage potential, Millie's claustrophobia leads them to seal it permanently. The Lowells' hidden room proves far more sinister. Nico discovers their space, also beneath stairs, but designed as a child's paradise with plush carpeting and pristine toys. Ada's investigation reveals its horrifying truth: a narrow bed with restraints hidden beneath the mattress, bloodstains on the quilt, and walls showing evidence of cleaned blood spatter. Forensics match DNA to Braden Lundy, a 7-year-old who vanished 3 years earlier, plus traces from two other missing children. These parallel spaces serve as powerful metaphors. The Accardi's empty room contained innocent play, while behind the Lowell's immaculate exterior lurked a chamber designed for unspeakable crimes. Millie harbors a dark secret. At 16, she killed a boy who attempted to rape her best friend. Despite clear self-defense, the boy's wealthy parents ensured she served 10 years in prison under her birth name, Wilhelmina Calloway. This history makes her constantly analyze conversations for threats. When Martha, their housekeeper, discovers newspaper clippings about Millie's past, she blackmails her, threatening exposure unless Millie overlooks her theft of family heirlooms. Enzo carries his own burden, 8 years as an enforcer for his brother-in-law, a Boston mobster. His sister's death at her husband's hands while Enzo was away haunts him, explaining his compulsion to help those in danger. These buried histories create a marriage built on mutual understanding of darkness and redemption. As Millie reflects, "We've both done some terrible things in our past, unspeakable things we justify as serving justice. But between us, I'm the one who's done far worse." Their daughter Ada has inherited her father's striking features and her mother's protective instinct and capacity for decisive violence, demonstrated when she confronts Jonathan Lowell after discovering his predatory behavior toward her brother. The neighborhood erupts when Jonathan Lowell is found dead with his throat slit. Millie discovers the body, then finds Enzo washing blood from his hands at home. Despite his garden clipper injury claim, evidence mounts against him. Photographs with Suzette, motel records, an illegal gun purchase, and his initialed pocket knife with Jonathan's blood. After Enzo's arrest and confession, Ada reveals, "I was the one who killed him." She explains she confronted Jonathan after learning he abused Nico, forcing him to play while being recorded, locking him in a hidden room, and threatening his family. When Jonathan blocked her exit and threatened her, she used her father's pocket knife. Suzette's involvement is confirmed when her fingerprints are found in the hidden room. Blood and DNA from missing children reveal the room's sinister purpose. When confronted, Suzette weakly claims she stayed with Jonathan to protect others, arguing that reporting him would have destroyed her life. Millie protects her daughter by enlisting Cecilia Winchester, someone she once nannied, as Enzo's lawyer. Detective Ramirez confronts Suzette with evidence linking her to Jonathan's crimes, offering a choice: confess to killing her husband or face prosecution for conspiracy in Braden Lundy's death. Suzette chooses self-preservation and confesses, leading to all charges against Enzo being dropped 2 weeks later. Only the Accardis know Ada's crew role, a secret they'll protect forever. In the epilogue, Martha reveals she deliberately sought out the Accardi family after recognizing Millie from news coverage of her murder trial. Martha had witnessed the same predator targeting another girl before Millie killed him. As the family heals, Ada shows signs of inheriting her mother's protective instinct. When threatened by a boy at school, she delivers a warning that makes him retreat in fear. Looking at her reflection, she realizes, "I look just like her," recognizing both physical resemblance and her mother's protective ferocity. While Millie worries about this legacy of trauma and violence, there's also hope. Ada's actions saved her brother when official systems failed. The family now carries new secrets they'll fiercely guard to preserve their hard-won normal life.